The sermon text this morning from today's epistle reading, focusing on the life of the Christian. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So, years ago, when I thought about becoming a pastor, I started in eighth grade, thought about it in eighth grade, and kind of was in and out of my mind for, years, a decade after that, until I got a little bit older and decided to give the seminary a try. So when I was doing that, I thought I knew what I was getting myself into. And I think that's a fairly common thought. Most of the things we do in life, we think we know what we're getting ourselves into. We know what to expect. I think most people who get married, right? Like you're 20-nothing years old, you're like, I know what I'm doing, I know what I'm thinking, I know how this is going to go, I got a handle on this, let's do it. Okay, so yeah, you get married, you think you know what's going on and what you're going to expect. Most couples who have a child, I'm pretty confident they think they know what to expect also. That they're going to, yep, we're going to have a kid, and the expectation is they're not going to make the same mistakes their parents made, which may be absolutely true. They're just going to make an entirely different set of mistakes than their parents made. Because raising kids, I think people, when they have kids, they think the kids don't have a personality. Oh, and that changes really fast, right? But, hey, look, we think we know what we're getting ourselves into. And whenever someone begins a career, they're confident that they know the reality of their chosen profession will match up with their already established preconceived notions. Well, I knew what I was going to do. I knew that I was going to do church, right? And that's a rather vague expectation. Like, I'm going to do church. Like, what does that mean? I don't know, but that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do church. And I'm going to administer the sacraments of holy baptism and give holy communion to church members. And it wasn't until I was well into my seminary studies that I began to wrap my head around the idea of teaching doctrine as it is presented and given in the scriptures. And there's an art to rightly dividing law and gospel. There's an even greater art to applying God's law and also the good news of salvation in Christ to an individual human being. Sometimes you do this and you hope you're doing it without wrecking somebody's faith or securing them in their sins. So it's important for a pastor to do, to be able to distinguish law and gospel, to be able to apply it to an individual, be able to speak to people in such a way that they can hear God's law and speak to people in such a way that they can hear God's gospel, right? And I mean to be able to say law and gospel to both individuals and to society as a whole, and that a behavior or a doctrine or a teaching or an action either pleases God or it offends God. So let me tell you, and this is what I've decided and I've figured it out, okay? It's not fun. This is not fun at all. But a pastor has to be prepared to be correct, not liked. For instance, take what St. Paul is saying to the Ephesians in chapter 4. No longer walk in the futility of your minds as the Gentiles do. No longer. Well, that tells us that they were one way. Now they are another way, this congregation. They were acting and behaving in one way as unbelievers. Now they are to act and behave and believe in a different way as believers. Once they were darkness. Now they are light. Once they gave themselves over to callous behavior, to sensuality, and were greedy and to practicing impurity. But now that they are light, they need to make some conscious decisions about their behavior. They need to put away falsehood. They need to speak truth. Don't steal, he says, but work hard so that you can have something to share with somebody who's in need. Don't tear others down, rather build up. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, along with malice, be put away from you. In other words, put the best construction on everything. Be kind. Be tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. Be imitators of God. Do walk in love just as Christ loved us. Paul is saying that there is evidence of a Christian life and the Christian walk. And quite frankly, if we cannot forgive others who sinned against us, how can we receive forgiveness from God? as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. We are to be kind and tender-hearted and forgiving one another, being imitators of God. Now that's the hard part, right? Because due to the brokenness of original sin, we're not inclined to do those things or believe or act in such a way. And due to the brokenness of original sin, I think, you know, most of us were inclined to think, well, I'm already doing that. I'm already being kind. I'm already being tenderhearted. I'm already being loving. I'm already doing all the things that I am supposed to be doing. And the thing is that for pretty much every one of us sitting here this morning, we have never not been Christians. We have heard the word of God from our mother's wombs. We are baptized into Christ. We have grown up in the church. We have been here as long as we remember. So we're apt to hear St. Paul and to think, how can we go back to Gentile ways since we've never been a Gentile? Well, according to the faith, so to speak. The thing is, right, that we can get shanghaied into sin and not even realize that it's happening to us. We can be caught up into sin and not even know or recognize what we're actually into and what we're actually doing. And this is where the apostles' admonition to us is. Let's use the word caution. This is where the apostles' caution to us kicks in. Just what does he say? He says, walk as children of the light. Okay, walk as children of the light. Try to discern what is pleasing to God. Walk, discern. Again, there is this conscious action of examining things, testing things, testing ourselves to be aware of our own strengths and our own weaknesses. So all those things that I've just mentioned that St. Paul had written down in chapter 4, of his letter to the Ephesians ended up being behaviors that we don't often realize that we're doing them, even while we are actually in the process of doing them. And the vices which are to be abhorrent to us, well, in society, they're often regarded as innocent joys and pastimes, which one may indulge in with not a lot of harm being done to ourselves, and sowing our oats, so to speak. I can go on and on with lists like we shouldn't be gambling or drinking to excess, or, you know, using tobacco products to excess. I can go on and on with lists about justifying abortions and justifying same-sex unions and the evils and the abuses of social media, the dangers of Facebook or Instagram. I don't even know if anybody uses Instagram anymore, but X or Too Social or anything with an algorithm that helps us separate ourselves into different tribes where we only hear what we want to hear and we only see what we want to see. And that if anybody looks at different or sounds different from us or acts different from us or believes different from us, then they are so far out of the norm that they should be exorcised from society, all the way to the justification of the exploitation of children and human trafficking. But we're so far from that as Christians, aren't we? We're not up to our ears in such things. We're for right morality. I mean, it's obviously true. We all believe in right morality until the opposite rises up and touches our own lives. Because it's easy to fall into the trap of thinking that society as a whole, that great herd mentality, decides what is right and wrong. And so that as society changes, the definition of what is right and what is wrong changes. And then it becomes society that defines what is true and what is good and what is right. So the fact of the matter is we actually really are neck deep into our culture, that we're swimming in it and we're so influenced by it that often we don't even see it. Then there's this fellow up front wearing vestments and he is truthfully weak and fallible and he is struggling with swimming in the stream of culture himself. And he's struggling with society, but he has a call. a call to be a watchman on the walls, an under shepherd under the great shepherd, or even, if you will, a sheepdog guarding the flock. Why? Why does God choose to do that and give that charge to a fallible man, a fallible human being? Well, the Holy Spirit says through the Apostle Paul, let no one deceive you. You are children of light. Like the sun in the heavens, the light does not change. Truth, righteousness, and goodness are not one thing in one age and something different in another age. We are children of light, and our very birth in baptism leads us on to the Lord. And just as plants seek the sun, so too does a Christian seek the sun of righteousness and the life that flows from him. We are to walk as children of light, and that means testing ourselves, making sure to examine ourselves and understanding whether or not we are genuine and that we have not been deceived by the philosophies of this age. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6 states, let no one deceive you. For there are forces in this world that will seek to deceive you. There are forces in the heavenly realms who would deceive us unto damnation. And by the way, that's something I also didn't personally grasp until I got deeper into my seminary education. That there are real forces really seeking our destruction as children of light, even as they would destroy all creations of God the Father. I mean, yes, I knew and believed there was a devil and that there were demons and that they did not like us, but the real magnitude had escaped me until I started studying these things a little deeper and a little more and a little longer. But regardless of that, it is true that Satan deceived Eve. He has blinded generations. He has brought many nations unto the path of destruction of both body and soul. It is demonic forces and dark forces that lurk behind the deceptive philosophies of the age. And from the deceptive arguments of things such as medical assistance in dying, saying that those laws are good or that abortion is good or using human sexuality in a way that is not designed by God is good. So, yeah, those things are out there. And we must be wary of them, and we must be watchful of them, and we must be careful of them. We have to be paying attention to what exactly it is that we are feeding ourselves with. The TV shows, the books, the movies, the podcasts, all of these things, the soft sell of sin and depravity. We must be wary of these things. And parents who would never think of encouraging their children to go to an abortion clinic to terminate a pregnancy might just be deceived into attempting Plan B pills, as it's, you know, too early to matter. Down all the way to teens and junior high students and individuals choosing the suggestions of their friends over the advice of their parents and grandparents, rather in order to try this or try that or to be part of the group or whatever it is they feel they need to do, being told that you can control it. Whatever that it is, right? The control. You got this. You can control it. It's going to be all right. But as we get into the it, whatever the it is, we often realize that we can't control it. We just hide it from everybody else so they don't know what we're going through. The Holy Spirit says through St. Paul that we are to examine ourselves and that we are to stay removed from darkness. We should neither go near it or entertain the dark, lest we falter in our faith and be deceived. Now, what am I not saying this morning? I'm not saying that anyone here is dancing with the dark. But what I am doing and attempting to do is my best to echo the apostle, to give warning, to bark at things unseen but are still present, to call each of us to be awake and aware and ever following the light that is Jesus Christ. For that is our call, that we are to be children of the light, to stay awake, to be aware, to be influencing the culture around us and the world that we can touch, taste, and smell, and hear, and feel. That we are the people of God in Christ Jesus, that we are all to love and care for one another, reach out to one another, bear one another up, help one another, and care for one another. These are the things that we are to do in the body of Christ and in the love of Jesus Christ our Lord. And in Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now rise.